Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. It is game day here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Steelers-Bucks kicks off tonight at 8:15 Eastern time in Tampa Bay. And I know it was a weird weekend of NFL football. Of course, we had the Browns winning on Thursday night. That kind of threw off everything, didn't it? The Browns actually got themselves a win and maybe even got themselves a quarterback in Baker Mayfield. And then, of course, on Sunday, just, you know, throw records out the window. Throw previous performances out the window. What a strange day. The Jaguars losing 6-9 to the Tennessee Titans. Again, the Tennessee Titans playing with Marcus Mariota with one arm. The Patriots lost to the Lions. The Vikings got blown out by the Bills. The Redskins beat the Packers. It was just a really strange day. But none of that matters, right? I mean, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, none of that really matters. And yes, you know, the Bengals lost and the Jaguars lost and the Patriots lost. And there were a lot of good things that happened for the Steelers, you know, on Sunday. But none of that's going to matter if the Steelers don't get into the win column tonight. This is a, you know, again, we are only in week three, but this team cannot afford to be 0-2-1, especially considering, you know, the cracks that are showing around this team. This team needs to get into the win column, needs to get a win under their belt and kind of put a lot of the off-the-field stuff behind them. So that's going to be really important tonight. We're going to talk about that. We'll preview today's Bucks-Steelers game. We'll also talk about the injury report for today's Bucks-Steelers game. We also have a lot to talk about outside of the game. Of course, there's a lot going on with this team off the field. Antonio Brown spoke to the media on Friday and talked about all the issues he had a week ago. We'll address that. We'll also talk about a report from Jason Lockhart-Fora of CBS Sports. Jason reporting that there is concern within the organization that the relationship between Ben Roethlisberger and offensive coordinator Randy Feuchner may be too close, and that is hurting the Steelers' offense or changing the play calling. It's a very strange report, but we'll talk about it today. We'll also talk about the fact that Adam Schefter reported on Sunday NFL Countdown that the Steelers are listening to trade offers for Le'Veon Bell. So we'll talk about all of that today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. Find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, or you can find our new Instagram page, Locked On Steelers, on Instagram. Let's start today with some news and notes, and really want to start with the injury report for tonight's game. The Steelers have three players listed as doubtful for tonight's game. David DeCastro with his hand injury, doesn't sound like he's ready to go just yet. Marcus Gilbert, who sat out the majority of practice this week with a hamstring injury, was limited on Saturday's practice. He calls himself a game time decision, that according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, but it doesn't sound like he's likely to play in this game. He would be replaced by Matt Filer on the right side. Of course, David DeCastro was replaced by BJ Finney a week ago. That will be the same in tonight's game. That does mean that the Steelers are down both right side offensive linemen, and it'll be interesting to see how the Steelers address that throughout the game, if they feel like they need to give Filer a chip there, if they need to leave Connor in pass protection a little more. It'll be interesting to see how the Steelers address the right side. Again, I think Filer and Finney have been good, but DeCastro and Gilbert made up two of the, you know, two players on one of the best offensive lines in football. So not a great situation for the Steelers being down two offensive linemen. Of course, the question here now is what happens if another player were to go down. You still have Chukwuma Okorafor, you still have Zach Banner ready to go on the bench. But again, Okorafor, a very young player who's, you know, again, looked good in the preseason. But again, with the Steelers starting Filer instead of Chukes, I think that tells you where they are with Chukes right now, not ready for him to see game time just yet. And then for Zach Banner, I mean, he's more of a project type player on this roster. And so, yeah, the Steelers are a little thin right now on the offensive line. And then going on the defensive side of the ball, Morgan Burnett will be out of this game with a groin injury. Again, listed as doubtful, but he really didn't practice much this week. And sounds like he's going to miss tonight's game. It'll be interesting to see how the Steelers address that because he plays so much dime linebacker. And so it'll be interesting to see where the Steelers go as far as do they move Edmonds down into the box or do they maybe play Cam Sutton there? We did see Cam Sutton play some dime in camp. So we'll see how the Steelers address that. The other thing to note here for the Steelers, and this really isn't an injury, but potentially a benching happening, is Artie Burns and Cody Sensabaugh. Cody Sensabaugh getting first team reps throughout the week, and again, the Steelers have not told Artie Burns or Cody Sensabaugh who's starting this football game, or they've told them both to just play it coy and don't let the media know. Because at this point, you know, Cody Sensabaugh and Artie Burns have both told media members that they are not sure who's going to start. Both guys saw reps with the first team throughout the week. It'll be interesting to see how that's addressed tonight. And again, if the Steelers play Cody Sensabaugh on the outside, it could mean that Cam Sutton shifts in there to the dime spot in place of Morgan Burnett. No one else listed on the injury report for the Steelers. Ramon Foster, who had been listed on the practice as missing practice or being limited in practice throughout the week, he's good to go for the game. Joe Hayden was a full participant all week, and I think Tyson Alualu a full participant all week, and he's going to be ready to go as well. For the Buccaneers, they have three players listed out in this football game. Rookie first-round pick Vita Vea, their defensive tackle, he will be out, as will Bo Allen. That leaves the Bucs with just two healthy defensive linemen, or interior defensive linemen, I should say. And then Marcus Williams, cornerback for them, more of a depth player, but he's going to be out of this game as well. And then they have Chris Conte and Brent Grimes both listed as questionable, although both are expected to play. So the Bucs go into this game relatively healthy. They've been missing Vita Vea for a while. I'm sure Bo Allen is, you know, they're not thrilled to be missing Bo Allen. But relatively speaking, again, you know, with Vea having missed so many weeks now, they've been, you know, they're 2-0 without him. And Bo Allen going down in this game, the Steelers, or the Bucs come into this game relatively healthy. And then finally, here in news and notes, do want to address the Antonio Brown situation that kind of came to an end on Friday with Antonio talking to the media. He didn't really say anything that newsworthy, which I think was great, right? I mean, again, this is a situation that just kind of needs to be put to bed. Tomlin came out, exercised the discipline, wouldn't say what it was, but there will be discipline. Antonio Brown came out, didn't want to expand on anything other than what had already previously been reported about it. And, you know, again, just didn't say anything. Really spent the entire media availability just talking about how frustrated he was with the team and with not winning. But that was pretty much it. And again, I thought, from that perspective, no new drama here, and that's exactly what the Steelers needed from this situation. Put it behind them. Yes, AB is frustrated. Everyone is frustrated. You know, did AB go about this the right way? No. And, you know, he's being punished for that. But other than that, again, put it to bed. Put this behind us. And, you know, I thought AB did a good job of doing that. So glad that this hopefully, and again, this all hinges on the Steelers winning tonight. Because if they don't win tonight, this probably all comes back up again, and this is all back in the Steelers' faces. But I thought Antonio did a good job of kind of avoiding some questions there, or at least not doing anything stupid during that media availability to kind of extend this drama out another week. Before we continue today's podcast, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's show, MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with, and that's why this season, MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. I've been using them all season. Of course, I've been doing my three team teasers. Yesterday, the Lions beat the. Not only did the Patriots not cover, I didn't need them to cover. I just needed them to win, and they got. I mean, they just got beat out. They just got beat down by the Detroit Lions. Now, kind of a win-win as a Steeler fan, right? Because okay, I got money on the game, so if the Patriots win, I'm good. I win the money, but getting to watch them lose, good. Just as good. MyBookie has in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. Right now, they are slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 of free play on deposits over $100. And if you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. That is for anyone who signs up at any time. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. If you want the offer after 7 p.m., use the promo code LOCKEDON25. Again, visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. And then let's get to this report from Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports that there is concern within the organization that the relationship between Ben Roethlisberger and Randy Feakner is, quote, too close, and that the Steelers are passing too much. This is a really strange report. I mean, I would love to know who his source is for this article, because again, if you go back to the end of 2017, all of the reasons why Todd Haley was let go and why Randy Feakner was put into his position, you know, again, all of the concern that LaConfora talks about in this article is are the reasons why the decision was made to let Haley go, right? To not give him a new contract and to promote Randy Feigner to offensive coordinator. Haley was not retained because of how poor his relationship was with Ben Roethlisberger at the end there. And, you know, there was a report from Ed Bouchette in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that Ben Roethlisberger was considering retirement because of how bad his relationship with Todd Haley had gotten, especially after the AFC Championship game in 2016. And so Feigner was promoted to offensive coordinator because of how close he was with Ben Roethlisberger. Not, they didn't want to rock the boat offensively, right? Clearly, at the end of 2017, this offense was humming, you know, at a level we just hadn't seen previously, right? I mean, we'd waited for this killer bee offense to really show up at the end of a season and into the playoffs, and finally we saw it. And so, you know, again, was it the right time to get rid of Haley? Again, this whole Haley versus Butler thing has come back up again. But Haley was let go because of his relationship with Ben Roethlisberger and how poor it was. And so now, for this to be brought up as a concern, again, especially after only two games into the season, seems very, very strange to me. Again, I would love to know who it is in the organization that feels this way, because, again, it can't be any of the decision makers. Randy Feigner was put in this position because of how tight he is with Ben. And then the other thing that gets me about this article, right, is all the points that are brought up about, you know, the percentage of total runs or this team skewing too much as being a passing team through 2 weeks. Everything about this team's offensively through 2 weeks has been skewed by what happened against Kansas City. Have the Steelers thrown the ball far more than they've run the ball in the first 2 weeks? Yes, they have been 70% pass, 30% run through the first 2 weeks, right? And then they bring up first half runs in this game too. They bring up first half runs throughout the season too. Like, that's supposed to, because it's 80-20 if you consider first half runs. Again, everything about this season is skewed by the Chiefs game. Yes, the Steelers relied heavily on the pass against the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, they did. It was 60-11 when you consider runs that were not by Ben Roethlisberger. 60 pass attempts to 11 runs. Again, there's 13 runs, but two of them were Ben Roethlisberger runs. But that's because they were behind the entire game. I mean, they were behind the entire... They never led in that football game, right? They were constantly playing from behind. And so, yes, they threw the ball a lot. But is anyone upset by the fact that they threw the ball a lot? Was anyone coming out of the game going, boy, if we had been more balanced offensively, I really think we would have been better off against the Kansas City Chiefs? Of course not. I mean, again, if you go back and watch the first couple drives, they were trying to work in the run. It wasn't really... They weren't really successful doing so. And then they got way behind, and they had to just start throwing, right? Throwing every down. And then that gets, you know, again, the first half runs. LaConfora brings up first half runs as being one of the things that people inside the organization are concerned with. And it's, again, it's cherry-picking numbers here, right? The Steelers were down 21-0 in the first quarter of the Kansas City game. Got back into the game by throwing their way back into it, right? In the second quarter, they threw their way back in this game, scored 21 points. In the second quarter, by throwing, you know, again, everything about this season has been skewed by the Chiefs game. And so all of these stats that are brought up, all this, I have no idea where this is coming from. But it has like zero basis in reality. The Browns game, 41 pass attempts, 35 runs. Well within a normal range. Not quite 50-50, but again, you don't want to be, I mean, it's never going to be 50-50, right? So yeah, there were six more pass attempts in that game than there were runs. And the funny thing is, coming out of that football game, what was the concern about play calling coming out of that game? Was it that we ran the ball too little? No, it was that we ran the ball too much. It was that we got too conservative at the end of that football game, and that we relied too heavily on Connor and shut the offense down, and that's what allowed the Browns to get back into the football game. So I don't know where this LaConfora report comes from. Again, I would love to know who this is that said this, because it can't be anyone that matters, right? Because none of this makes any sense to me. Really strange report, but that is from Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports with a really strange report. And then another report we got on Sunday was from Adam Schefter on NFL Countdown, reporting about the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell.
Teams around the league during the show, they are now listening. The Steelers are listening to offers for Le'Veon Bell, who is yet to report to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, it'd be difficult to get this deal done. He'll be a free agent after this year, and a team would have to re-sign him. They could sign him at that point in time. But the Steelers apparently are now willing to listen to trade offers for Le'Veon Bell.
So there you have it. The Steelers are now listening to trade offers for Le'Veon Bell. They had previously said they were not going to be listening to trade offers for Le'Veon. It sounded like they were going to wait out this holdout, let him show up whenever he did finally show up, and then use him late in the season and for a playoff push. But clearly something has changed now, and they feel like they're ready to move on. We'll talk in a second about what that could be. But you know, Adam Schefter did say there that this is going to be a difficult trade to pull off. And I want to talk about some of the reasons why. We talked about this a little bit in the past, but it bears repeating now that the Steelers are listening to trade offers. Look, the Steelers are guaranteed a third-round compensation for Le'Veon Bell in the 2020 draft when he leaves in the 2019 free agency, right? If Le'Veon Bell were to leave at the end of this year and not re-sign with the Steelers, which, again, in all likelihood, that will be the case, the Steelers will get a third-round compensatory pick from the NFL. So they'll get a third-round pick that is essentially at the end of the third round. That is guaranteed for them. So whatever they trade Le'Veon for, it has to be better than a third-round pick. Now, you might be thinking, how in the world could the Steelers only get a third-round pick for the best running back in the league or the second-best running back in the league? Wherever you put Le'Veon in the tiers, he's up there as far as the best running backs in the league. But again, this is just not going to be an easy trade to execute because, look, the reason why Le'Veon Bell is not showing up is because he wants a big long-term deal, the likes of which we saw Todd Gurley get just before the start of the season. No team can give that to him right now. Not the Steelers and not the team that they were to trade him to. The only time Le'Veon Bell can agree to sign a big long-term deal, the big deal he's looking for, is going to be in March of 2019 when free agency opens. That is the only time he can sign that deal. And so whatever team the Steelers are trading him to are essentially agreeing to take Le'Veon Bell on as a rental. They cannot franchise him again in 2019 because Le'Veon Bell would have been franchised 3 years in a row and under NFL rules. If you are franchised 3 years in a row, you have to be paid like the top five highest paid players in the league, which would put Le'Veon Bell's 1 year salary in the $20+ million range. No one's going to pay Le'Veon Bell $20+ million for a single season. So again, whatever team you're trading Le'Veon Bell to, they are agreeing to take him on as a 1 year rental with the hope of re-signing him in 2019. But there's also no guarantee that he shows up in 2018 for the new team that he signs with, or excuse me, the new team that he's traded to. He's not going to show up for the Steelers until week 10, week 11, right? The last days he has to. So what is the guarantee that the new team that you're trading him to is getting that he will be willing to show up and put more wear and tear in his body over the next 14 weeks, right? There just isn't one. You heard his agent, Adisa Bakari, when I played that clip a couple weeks ago here on the podcast. It doesn't sound like Le'Veon Bell is very interested in playing football in 2018, right? So whatever team you're trading him to, there's no guarantee that he shows up until week 11. So you're getting a 6 or 7 week rental out of Le'Veon Bell by trading for him. And then the other difficult thing that gets added to that whole mix is that Le'Veon has to agree to sign his franchise tag in order to be traded. So he essentially has a no trade clause. You know, again, he doesn't have to be traded because he doesn't have to sign that franchise tag. And again, at this point, he has no interest in signing that franchise tag. Again, I think it's going to be so having said all of that, right? He can go to whatever team he wants to by not signing the franchise tag. He doesn't have to show up until week 11. And the team that you're trading him to has no guarantee that he's going to re-sign with that team after the season is over. Now, how are you going to get a third-round pick for that, right? I mean, you're getting Le'Veon Bell for essentially 6 or 7 games. And again, you're getting a Le'Veon Bell who is worried about touches. We've heard reports that one of the biggest sticking points with Le'Veon was how many touches he was going to be getting from the Steelers, what his usage was going to be with the Steelers, that he wanted to work out a deal with the Steelers where his usage could be low or lower than it had been in the past. That's what you're trading for if you're trading for Le'Veon Bell. How are the Steelers really going to be able to get more than a third-round pick for Le'Veon Bell? Maybe, right? And if they do, then absolutely pull the trigger, right? Go for it. Do it. There's no reason not to at this point. I just find it I find it hard to believe that there is a team stupid enough out there to trade for Le'Veon Bell on a 6-game rental with the hopes of signing him to a long-term deal in 2019. But maybe that, you know, again, Martavis Bryant was traded for a 3rd-round pick. So maybe another team is stupid enough to give us an even better pick than a 3rd-round competition. And again, this could be a player-for-player type deal, right? The Steelers could potentially bring in someone defensively to, you know, in a player-for-player deal with Le'Veon Bell. The other thing that I should mention here is that I know a lot of people are excited about the fact that trading Le'Veon Bell saves this team a bunch of cap room and they can roll that cap space over into 2019. He's not currently costing the Steelers anything right now. Again, every game he misses, that $850,000 goes back into the Steelers salary pool and they can carry that over into 2019. So every game he misses, we're already saving that money. The Steelers savings here by trading him would be the whatever it is, $8 million that they would owe him after he eventually shows up, or if he does show up. Now, let's talk about the reasons why the Steelers, I think, at this point are more than willing to trade Le'Veon Bell. I think it has everything to do with the drama that has happened around this football team, right? I think the Steelers are kind of looking a few weeks ahead here now. And let's say the Steelers do get back on track tonight against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they do kind of put some of this drama that has come up over the past week or so behind them. It's all going to get stirred right back up again when Le'Veon shows up, whenever that is, right? But whether it's week 10, week 11, or sooner, the moment Le'Veon Bell shows up in the Steelers facility, I mean, it's mayhem, right? It's not mayhem because of the Steelers doing. It's mayhem because the media is going to descend and all the questions are going to be asked about, is Le'Veon going to start, or how many reps is he going to see, or what kind of condition is he in, and you know, what is the relationship between Bell and his teammates and all of that. And again, it is going to be nonstop for weeks about Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think where the Steelers are right now is an organization where they're very clearly trying to cut out all of those off-the-field distractions. I think they're looking at 4 or 5 or whatever it would be 6 weeks from now and saying, yeah, no, thank you. We don't need Le'Veon Bell back in this building ever. It'd be very nice to just not have to deal with that and move on with James Conner, which again, it was going to be the long-term play there anyway, right? Le'Veon Bell showing up in week 11, there was no chance Le'Veon Bell shows up in week 11 and just takes over the starting gig for James Conner. So I think this is a smart move for the Steelers to try and go out there and trade Le'Veon. I'm not sure that they can get more than a 3rd-round pick, but again, if they do, more power to them, and hopefully they trade him to an NFC team so we don't have to deal with Le'Veon in the AFC as this team, if this team were to get itself back together for a playoff run. Obviously, you wouldn't want to face Le'Veon in the playoffs, but yeah, interesting. Interesting to see the Steelers are going to be willing to trade Le'Veon at this point. Again, as I said, I hope he just goes to an NFC team if they do find a willing trade partner for him. Before we continue, I want to let you guys know about Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that will last a lifetime. Vivid Seats, a top source for tickets for all live events you want to go to. And coming up this Sunday, it is Steelers Ravens in Heinz Field on Sunday Night Football. There are still great seats available for that game at a great price on Vivid Seats. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more. Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer to Vivid Seats. And then before we finish up today, I do want to do a little mini preview of tonight's game. If you haven't listened to Crossover Wednesday this week, I had a great conversation with James Yarko of Locked On Buccaneers. Highly suggest you go back and listen to that if you haven't already. Kind of an extended preview of tonight's game. On that podcast, I predicted the Steelers to win tonight 38-35 in a shootout. And after I made that prediction, it got me thinking, boy, when was the last time the Steelers won a shootout like that? When was the last time the Steelers even scored 30-plus on the road? Now, going back and looking, they scored 30-plus against the Houston Texans on the road at the end of last season. That was week 16 at the end of last year. Kind of a meaningless game for the Texans. They were dead and buried, and the Steelers, you know, they were trying to keep up with New England for home field advantage. So, I mean, again, not a completely meaningless game, but and so good on the Steelers for scoring 30-plus in that game. But the last time before that, you'd have to go all the way back to opening day of 2016. I mean, one of the things that has defined this team over the past two seasons has been, you know, offensively the struggles they've had on the road. I mean, it just hasn't been the same offensive production as we've seen when they're in Heinz Field. And really, it goes down to Ben Roethlisberger and his play on the road, right? I mean, his completion percentage is down. There's been more turnovers on the road. You know, 2016, I think his completion percentage was 70% at home, 60% on the road, and he threw eight interceptions on the road, five at home, but he threw 20 touchdowns at home, only nine on the road. And then last year, the numbers are a little skewed because of the fact that he threw five interceptions against Jacksonville. The numbers are a little skewed home and away. I think the numbers are he threw 16 touchdowns at home, 12 away, five interceptions at home, six away. And again, his completion percentage down from 66 to 61. So again, not as bad last season, although those numbers are a little skewed because of the Jacksonville game. If you take the five interceptions from Jacksonville out of there, right? I mean, threw three at home in the rest of those games and six on the road. Again, not terrible for Ben Roethlisberger on the road, but you look at last season and their ability to put up big points on the road, it just didn't happen for this team. So I do wonder if this team gets behind again like they did last week, are they going to be able to dig themselves out of it and get themselves back into the game like they did last week? I'm not sure, right? This team does have a lot of talent offensively, and as I talked about on yesterday's podcast, I think the sky's the limit for this offense where it is with Juju right now. You're working AB back into this offense, but then working in guys like James Washington and Vance McDonald back in. You know, part of the reason why the Steelers were able to come back and come back, I don't want to say easily, but again, they went down 21-0, and then in a flash, they were right back in it at 21-21 is because of how much offensive talent surrounds Ben Roethlisberger. So it'll be interesting tonight. I mean, look, this team is going to have to break a trend in some way, right? Either if they're going to win tonight's game, they're going to have to break a trend tonight. Either defensively, we're not going to give up the 30-plus points that everyone's expecting, right? We're going to come out and have a bounce-back game, and whether that's through having Joe Hayden back out there or benching Artie Burns or getting a pass rush on Ryan Fitzpatrick or just being more aggressive defensively, we'll see, right? But again, that is a path for success. But the other path for success is winning a shootout. If defensively it's going to look more likely it did against Kansas City, then this offense is going to have to shed the Ben on the road offensive production on the road is going to have to shed that and go out there and score a bunch of points and win a shootout on the road, which, as I've said, just has not been what the Steelers have done in recent history. And so it'll be interesting. I think it's more likely that defensively they come out and look much better than they did a week ago. As I said on the all 22 or the tape breakdown of the Chiefs-Steelers game. Look, a lot of what happened in that football game was just because of how good Kansas City is right now offensively. And you saw that again as they just picked apart that 49er defense. Now, not to say that the 49er defense is any good. I don't think it is. But, again, Kansas City was just a hot knife through butter out there, just like they were against us. And so, again, I'm not saying our defense is good. I am saying, though, I think our defense can have a bounce-back performance in this way. And look, this is a team that absolutely needs it because, as we talked about to start this podcast, this team simply cannot afford at this point to go down to 0-2-1. Again, that kind of hole that they'd have to dig themselves out of, mixed with the off-the-field stuff that's been happening. I don't want to say it's a death sentence, but it certainly would feel like very close to a death sentence for this team, especially with the Baltimore Ravens coming to town next week. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to, before I do that, I do want to say I'm revising my prediction. So I'm going to predict a lower scoring game this time around. Not a 38-35 win. I'm going to revise it to 26-24. Something in the 20s, I think, is much more reasonable to expect for both teams, for both sides of the ball, right? The Steelers holding the Bucs to three touchdowns and a field goal, again, I think would be a big win for this defense. And then offensively, scoring in the high 20s, 26 points would be more than enough to win this football game. And so I think the Steelers win 26-24, a close one, even if it has to be a Boswell field goal at the end. How about that? A Boswell field goal to get him back on track as well, getting this defense to kind of feel good about itself offensively, they were scoring some points on the road, and Boswell kicks a game winner. All is right in the city of Pittsburgh after tonight's game. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow to recap Steelers-Bucks right here on Locked On Steelers.